This is one of the main challenges that I was practicing like a maniac when I was building my skills. I had this idea that if I could start and end a lick like this on stage, that would be just amazing. And so I did. I actually, as you can see, brought it up to a decent speed. And the next couple of videos is really about how to do that, because I made all the mistakes you can possibly make in the process. And when I started really focusing on what I was doing and coming up with a better way of just hammering my head at the challenge forever, then things just started exploding for me, really. And my skills really developed very, very quickly from there. But the first thing we're going to look at now is really a mental thing. And for the next couple of videos, I'm going to talk quite a lot. But it's very important that you understand and listen to all of this, even though it might be a little non-practical, because the main reasons that people give up or do not end up being able to play as fast as they want to, or as precise, or as accurate, or as well, or as whatever as they want to, is not because of this instrument or the discipline of playing as such. It's because of mental, emotional issues. And we're not going to go into deep psychological aspects of this. There are just some very, very important things mentally that you need to understand, and then you need to be prepared of in order to get all the way to these skills. And the first thing we're going to focus on now is knowing what happens here. Know the challenge, really. Know what it is that you're about to learn. And I'm going to talk a lot here, so please pick up your guitar, sit back, push the guitar just a little bit away from your head, so it's in a nice comfortable position, so you don't have your arm locked up like this. And then just start practicing stuff that you can practice while you listen to me. Picking patterns, unplucked, whatever suits you. So the first thing we need to know is the challenge, because most people just begin. They just launch and just say, okay, I need to practice a lot. So if I want to learn to play a simple pattern, then I just need to play it a lot. And they go ahead and play it a lot. And after some time, what happens is they run into some challenges, primarily because they do not understand how big this challenge really is, how much you really have to work at it. And I'm not saying that it's hard to build speed, because it's not. It's really, really easy. And I'm going to explain why I'm saying that. Because we have, of course, a huge amount of respect for people who's developed their skills, be it picking skills or juggling skills or whatever. And because we have this idea that it requires enormous amount of self-discipline and hard work. And because we have this no pain, no gain mindset, we never get there. So we're going to fix that right now. So we don't want to underestimate the challenge, and we do not want to overestimate how long it takes and how much we have to put in as well, because that will just make us give up as well. So how big is the challenge? Well, the challenge is fairly big, but anyone can do it, because it's really just a matter of systematically programming your brain to do what you want it to do. And we humans have been living in nature for almost 200,000 years. We've been, you know, throwing spears and picking berries and stuff like that for most of our lifetime. So if this is the human story, really, with the same genetic material as I'm having now, as we've been speaking about before, that the time where we've been playing guitar is just 1/1000th of a millimeter in this lifespan of the human race. So doing these little movements on the fretboard is not natural. So the brain really has to learn everything. And we need to focus on not underestimating that challenge. But because if we underestimate the challenge, what happens is we're going to reach a point where we go, oh my God, I've been practicing for 2 months now, really intensely, and I haven't reached the point that I wanted to reach. In fact, it's as though I haven't made much progress, really. And what happens then is we go into all sorts of thoughts about, am I holding the pick right? Is that it? Am I holding my hand right? Am I going too deep with the pick? Am I not doing this right? It's because we search for a reason for our lack of progress. And because we don't see how large the challenge really is, we just go in all sorts of directions in our head, trying to analyze and figure out, why haven't I made the progress I thought I'd make? But we do two things here. We underestimate the challenge as a whole, and we don't see that our development is a compound effect, meaning it develops not straight. It's not like I'm practicing for 2 months and I made so much progress. Then I practice for 2 months again, then I make so much progress. It doesn't work like that. The curve goes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128, and so on. It doubles itself all the time. And if you look at a curve that explodes to a million, for instance, if this is your mark and you count like that, 2, 4, 8, doubling the value every single time, then it's going to look like the grass, like watching the grass grow in the beginning. So you practice, 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 and it looks like you're making no progress at all. But that's because it goes really slow in the beginning, or so it seems. But we have so few skills that if you practice a week, being twice as good as last week is just this much. Because you have to go there. You have to go from being able to pick two strokes precisely and accurately, a second perhaps, in a second, to being able to play 20 strokes a second, or 30 or 50, I don't know how much it is actually, but that's a huge jump there, and the way to it goes two, four, and so on. So it's like watching the grass grow. So we go along, we practice, and it looks like nothing's happening. And suddenly, when we get to that final just curve there at the hockey stick, it's like a hockey stick, this curve, and it suddenly explodes up, and your development suddenly just takes off. But we have to be willing to sit there and do the accurate repetitions over and over again, the focused, concentrated repetitions over and over again for as long as it takes. And if we do that, every single repetition is really easy. We're not straining ourselves. We don't have to do anything we can't do. In fact, it's very important that you only do what you can do. And so we sit and go, for instance, playing three notes on one string, if that's the lick or the exercise, or, and then we just keep on doing that. And eventually, if we do that with enough repetitions in the right way, then the curve just moves along. If you follow just a couple of principles that I'm going to go into in a second, the curve just moves along, and suddenly you just experience this rapid growth. And everyone talks about that, or have that experience when they master something to a high degree. But there's the second thing you need to understand about this challenge is that we have what you could call a time repetitions ratio. It takes time. It's like a recipe, really. You are about to bake a cake, and different things go into it. And the two main things that go into the cake of playing fast or developing a superior technique is time and repetitions. Just like brushing your teeth and walking and driving a car, the more times you do it, the easier it becomes. Let's say you practice, just a radical example, let's say you practice 6 and 8 hours a day for a month. Most people would say, okay, that's a lot of time practicing. But you will not get, at the end of that month, you should think that compared to a person who only practices 30 minutes a day and you practice 8 hours a day, that you should be at least 16 times better than him because you practice 16 times more. But that is not the case. And that is what tricks us often, because you need the time as well in the recipe. And if the time is less than your work, really, then you have to wait for time to mature your new skills. It's not that you didn't make progress during those 4 weeks where you practice so insanely, but it's just that you need time to process all these repetitions that you made. An analogy, a nice image here, is if you have a bucket, picture a bucket with a hole in the bottom there. And so if you pour anything in the bucket, it's going to leak out eventually. So you can pour a lot in the bucket, and eventually it's going to just leak out from it again. And over here I have a second bucket, and it's full of acid, really, hardcore acid. And over here I have a bucket of basic or an alkaline fluid, so that will neutralize the acid. So if I have equal amounts of acid and equal amounts of basic here over alkaline stuff, and I mix those, then it will they will just dissolve the acid alkaline, and you will have a perfect balance, zero alkalinity and zero acidity. You understand that? So if we have 50% alkaline and 50% acid, you'll have zero alkalinity and zero acidity. So if I pour equal amounts of that into the bucket at one time, then that is what we're after. And when you have zero alkalinity and zero acidity, that's when you have your result. So the acidity is the repetitions you make. The alkalinity is the time. And if you pour equal amounts of those into the bucket, then you will have zero in the bucket, which is the optimum skill level based on the amount of repetitions you have. But what if you, because the thing, it's running out of the bucket. Maybe this is a weird analogy, but it's the best I could come up with, really. I hope you get it. So acidity is repetitions, doing the repetitions. Alkalinity is time. Let's say that I pour equal amounts of acidity and alkalinity into the bucket. We have zero now in the bucket at all times. It's running out of it, so I can keep pouring. So we get the optimum result out of our practice here. If I pour more repetitions, more acidity in than I pour alkalinity in, then I will have an acid fluid down here, meaning I will not get to the zero alkalinity and acidity in the bucket. But if I stop pouring the acid into the bucket, then with time, the alkalinity of this bucket will neutralize at some point the acidity in the bucket, and I'll get to zero anyway. My point is this, that let's say you practiced a ton for a month, and you don't get the results you thought you would like. But then just wait. If you wait 1, 2, 3 months, then you'll see those skills mature. And you have to understand that, because most people practice have these periods of intense practice, which is awesome, which is good, where they practice all they can do, week after week for 1 or 2 months. And that's really a prerequisite for developing these skills, because that's the way you tell your brain that you really want to learn this. But then we come to the end of the period and we go, hey, I've been practicing 10 times more than the people around me, or 10 times more than I'm used to, but I haven't got 10 times the results. I must be very, very untalented, or there must be something wrong with me, or there must be something with the way I'm holding the pick, or the way I'm doing my exercises. There must be something wrong there, and there might very well be improvements that you can make. But if we do not understand this fact, that you need equal amount of practice and equal amounts of time to mature these repetitions, to make the brain understand what you just did. You cannot just program it with tons of information, millions of repetitions, which is really what you're doing when you're practicing several hours a day. It's millions of repetitions in a month. And you cannot program it with that much information without giving it time to digest what you've programmed it with. It simply doesn't work that way. So your next question might be, but how do I know then when I have the right, when I'm practicing just the right amount? You can't practice too much. unless you're practicing so much that you're really hurting yourself. But you can't practice much because you just wait, and time will mature your skills there. All the repetitions, every single repetition you make, if it is a perfect repetition and not a mistake, not picking the string in a forced way or not fretting the note right, if you pick every single time, you pick the string and it rings out and you're not using force and you're not straining yourself and you have perfect relaxed attitude towards it, every time you do that, that is going to put a layer on top of the layer just before it. So if you do perfect, accurate repetitions, every single time you do, it's like putting paper on top of paper all the time. But because of the element of time, you don't always get rewarded right away, and you have to wait to get those rewards. So that's a really important thing to understand. And the third thing, but the question you might have now is, but how do I know then how much I should practice each day to get the right amount of time and practice? And as I just said, you can practice as much as you want, but a couple of hours a day is basically what the brain can digest. So if you practice 1 or 2 hours a day, that will be just about what your brain can digest. If you practice more than that, you just have to wait until your new skill level sets in. There's a third thing here that we must know to know the challenge, and that is that there are going to be road bumps. There are going to be challenges along the way. So you practice, and the main challenges really is in what I just told you. Because if you do what I'm going to tell you in another video here in this program, all you have to do really is do the easy exercises and do enough of them over the period of a year, 1.5, 2 years, and then you have super skills. And I know that sounds, oh please, Klaus, most of these well-known guys said it takes 10 years or 5 years or 15 years to develop these alien skills, or you have to have a huge amount of talent to develop these skills in very little time, and I don't have a lot of talent. But it's not true, because this is really easy. Developing these skills is really easy. All the scales and the arpeggios and all of that can sometimes be a challenge, because there's so much knowledge there that you have to know on a physical level. You have to be able to master it really on a nanosecond level. Developing incredible skills is really, really easy. And most people who say, well, Klaus, prove it. And I give this classic example. How did you become so good at brushing your teeth? And I advise you to try and do it with your left hand tonight. When you brush your teeth, please use your left hand. And if you're left-handed, use your right hand. And see how incredibly, you look like an idiot when you're trying to brush your teeth with the other hand. And that's because you become incredibly skilled at doing all sorts of movements with your right hand without ever thinking about it, without ever saying, oh, I want to become good at brushing my teeth, so I better do it a lot of times. No, you just did it a lot. You just did it every day. And now you become so skilled that you can think about something else. You can even read text messages on your phone. You can listen to music while you do it. You can do a whole lot of things while you brush your teeth. And the same with driving a car. If you do it enough times, and you do it enough times without forcing it, without trying to say, it's not fast enough, I need to develop faster, so I need to hold the brush in another way, I need to... all this stuff will really just slow you down, because you'll begin to focus on other things than practicing. You'll begin to focus on other things than just doing it, because your brain is an amazing computer. If you just give it a toothbrush and a mouth, it will figure it out. And you don't push it, don't strain it, don't try to get there faster than the natural development. And I know it takes time. I know it takes months of practicing, but if you do it right, which is really easy, it's just automatic. You just do it and you develop the skills, period. If you do the right things, you cannot not develop the skills unless there's something really wrong with your body, you're lacking fingers to hold the pick with or stuff like that. So But you're going to go into these challenges, these road bumps, where you go, oh my God, I think I've been practicing for 6 months now, and I didn't. If this is the amount of time I have to spend to get from there to there, then there's a huge amount of time left before I reach my destination, and that's really the main challenge because it's a compound effect. It's a you go from 2 to 4 to 8 to 6, and it's like watching the grass grow. And if you've been practicing for 6 months intensely, on and off, then at the end of these 6 months, you go, okay, this is the progress I've made in 6 months, and you could be just on the verge of just exploding into this compound growth, whether you get to the end of that hockey stick. And what happens is that your brain thinks, or you make this quick analysis and say, this is the progress I made in 6 months, and geez, if this is, okay, let's say I want to go there, so I have to go 25 years ahead in time to reach that point up there. But that's not true, because your development does not follow a straight line. This compound curve here that follows a hockey stick is really what you need to have in your head at all times, because that's what you should think of right away when you start getting frustrated. You can work on your picking technique and how you hold the pick and all that kind of stuff, but do not begin to think that you're somehow, you can't be, there's some lack of talent, or you're doing it all wrong, or because that's just the wrong path to walk. Your brain has the ability to learn to pick at incredible levels of speed. If you don't push it, if you do the right things, it will just, figure out how to hold the pick by itself, really. And when you look at people who have the weird picking techniques where they hold their hand weirdly, or they use their arm and do all sorts of, which is also a thing we're going to talk about, do all sorts of compensational stuff to try and get there faster, all that came about because they did not understand this curve, this way of developing. So you come to this point, you look at it and say, okay, this is going to take me 25 years to get there, and then you start doing all sorts of really, really stupid things to get there faster. And all these things is going to either hurt you, so you can play really fast, really with a low level of accuracy, and an arm that's acting up, and you have an elbow that's not really working anymore. That's either the result, or you just give up, because all these different things that you do to get there faster will just keep you back and make it even harder to get there. Not even harder, because it's not hard to get there, but it will make it hard to get there. So resolve in advance how you are going to react to these challenges before you get there. That's really the key. So look at this PDF, look at the curve here, and then really think about it. Put it on your wall and then think about it day in and day out, how your development goes, and then just do the simple practice routine that I'm going to show you, and stick to it. Stick to it. Don't leave it. Don't go floundering out in different paths. Just stick to what works. And every time you go, oh, maybe it doesn't work, maybe this practice, just think about all the things you can do that you never thought about mastering at all. You can walk, and you can walk without thinking about it, and you hardly ever thought about walking. You just did it. You did, duh, you were just this high, and you just started walking. You fell down, you got up again, you started walking. Just did it every time. You can brush your teeth like this, you can drive a car perhaps, or a bicycle, while doing other things. It's completely automatic. And that is really what we need to do. And it's not harder than that. And compared to other arts, imagine trying to juggle 7 items in the air. How on earth do you learn that? Because you can't do it slow. You have you have gravity to work with all the time. So you're going to throw it up in the air, throw it up in the air again, and drop it. You can't, if you could just speed gravity down. That's what we can do on the guitar here. We don't have gravity, so we can do it as slowly and precisely as we want. Just juggling. Imagine how hard it is to learn to hit the center when you're playing darts. Again, you're fighting gravity. You have to throw with a certain force there. And you just have to try and try and try and fail and fail and fail. We don't have to do that when we're playing guitar. We can just do it perfectly from the beginning. So we're going to work with a saying that is very old, which is this: perfect practice makes perfect. And that is so not true in so not true in other parts of the world, but when it comes to guitar, it is the thing that you want to work with. So let's move on, and after we've just made a short recap here, and go into more into what we're actually going to do when we practice. So know your challenge, know the size of it, and I haven't talked about how long it takes, but I can only tell you how long it usually takes. If you and you have the requirements of this is, of course, that you follow the behavior that I'm going to describe in the next video. But I develop my picking skills, the basis of them, to the point where you can say, okay, I could do this. What you see me do now, I couldn't do it as fluently and as relaxed as I can today, but I could just as well play the exact same thing. That's the level I'm talking about, and I developed that in the period of 2 years. When I started out, I was able to do basic picking, and then just when I saw the first Paul Gilbert video there, I just went berserk, and then I had periods of high intensity. I was attending school, didn't make much homework, but I was still attending school, and so I had high intensity periods of a week, a month, 2 months, and then I had periods where I practiced perhaps 15 minutes to 30 minutes a day, and then I went back to these high intensity periods. And in the course of 2 years, I developed my alternate picking skills, my hammer-ons and pull-offs, and my sweep picking skills. And if you have been practicing these things for 2 years and you haven't got to this, then these following videos will be really candy for you, because now it's time to go to the next level and really develop these skills. So let's move on to the next video.